Okay, we might as well get going. I would like to welcome all of you for coming out here on a beautiful Mesquite morning. And just to begin with, as a note, we are recording this meeting, and the recording will be posted on the website afterwards. But as a part of that, when we get going later on, if you have any questions, please speak out clearly and also introduce yourself before the question so we'll know who's spoken when. And if there is some exchange back and forth, please give everyone the opportunity to speak and don't speak over them. Okay, this is a special meeting of the South Beach Road Association. It was requested by 14 households of the South Beach Road Association in letters that were sent to the Secretary. Those members requesting the meeting comprised 14.6% of the 96 active South Beach Road Association members in 2015, and it fulfills the requirements of Article 3.7 of the bylaws of the SBRA for holding a special meeting. The purpose that was specified for this meeting is that it has been requested to the special meeting of the South Beach Road Association is requested to, one, receive a full report on discussions concerning formation of a special road district, two, review the bylaws and decision-making process envisioned for such a proposal, and three, discuss the consequences for a proposal upon the general membership, including financial ramifications and voting rights of the membership. Okay, before we get going, I just want to make some introductions at the front, or close to it. We have the current South Beach Road Association board members, Tom Zellner, Terry Brentesson, Mike Herbal, and Ken is moving chairs. We also have our secretary, Karen Nienkamp, and treasurer, Dale Moore. We'd also like to welcome Tomah County Commissioner Mark Labhart for coming down here to enjoy our weather. And I think that pretty much covers the introductions. What I want to do today is to discuss the items that were mentioned in the purpose. And what we're looking at is something that represents a change. It's natural to be skeptical of any change. And if you include the words government and taxes, it's probably rightfully so to be doubly skeptical. So what we're looking at is a change. It is something that has no deadlines. There's no reason to rush into that. And so what I'd like us to have is a complete airing of what the issue is. We'll have plenty of time to talk about it. And maybe by the time the annual meeting runs around, we can talk about it again. So, to... Yes?
Can we have readings of the minutes from the September meeting?
Those will be read at the next annual meeting. And if there are any... The draft copy is present on the website. If there are any questions about the minutes, you can bring those to the annual meeting. And it'll be discussed then, and the minutes will be modified and a vote will be taken to approve the minutes or not. We'll talk about some of the things that were discussed at the annual meeting. Okay. So, what I want to do now is just to give a presentation that will address some of the issues that were raised in the letter. And the starting point is really why the South Beach Road Association came into existence. Our purpose simply is to maintain the roadways and common areas that are located within the Mesquite South Beach community. And what we are proposing with this change is that everyone should share the expense of maintaining the roads in the common areas. Okay, what I'm going to do today is go through the items that are listed here, starting off with the way in which we collect assessments, the problem that we've had, and then try to correct some of the misconceptions that are out there, go over the facts, and then look at what exactly we are proposing with the special road district and how it will affect the collection of assessments. And then I'll talk about the impacts of forming a special road district and this idea here that I've just described as road association, road district integration, and then after that it'll be what the plans are for the near future and try to summarize things. So for this talk, I'm depending on several different information sources, starting out with all of the Oregon revised statutes that you can find online, the Tillamook County offices listed here have helped out, and I've also received information from the Special District Association of Oregon, and then I have had conversations with representatives of 21 special road districts that are located throughout the state, from Kilaquin and Klamath County to Government Camp, from Yahats to Prineville, all over. And additionally, I've talked with the local real estate agents who hold most of the listings in our area. Okay, starting off with what the problem is. This represents what the assessments have been over the last 5 years. We had 3 years at $500 a year, and improved lots mean that you have a house on it, vacant lots or empty lots. We had 3 years at $500 a year for the improved lots, 2 years at $350. The vacant lots are shown here in terms of what we've billed them. And I guess you might ask, what is our rationale for billing these lots? And it comes down to ORS 105.175, that individuals who own an easement to use the road are required to maintain it. And so it is in some ways a vague statute. It says that the costs are to be shared by the easement holders to be in proportion to the use made by each holder, and then he goes on to say that that includes frequency of using the road and also the size and weight of vehicles. And looking at how we build things, that maybe isn't exactly what we're following, because if you look at the vacant lots, they aren't using the road that much. And the rationale for billing people who have vacant lots is that you might not be on the road as much as people that have a house on the lot, but the existence of a road gives value to the lot, and so it ought to be worth something for you to contribute to the association. And then on a practical sense, when we go out and cut the grass in the ditches or put gravel in the road, we don't stop when we come to a vacant lot and then move on to the next lot with the house. We just go through and gravel the road, cut the grass. So the association does expend money on the vacant lots here. So that's where we are right now with the assessments. This is the record of the assessment collection over the last 5 years in dollar amounts. And the green represents the amount that is paid, the blue represents the amount that is unpaid, and then in the last 3 years, this gold color represents lots that the assessment was waived. In these 2 years, Mike Derrickson came in and said that I'm spending money that benefits the association through the completion of the water reservoir located right along the border here with the National Forest, and that is valuable to the association, and that new houses couldn't be built up there until the water district had that reservoir in place, and also the lots up there weren't going to be sold until that was completed. Last year we decided to waive the billings for all people that had waived the billings for people owning multiple lots. We went back to the formula that was used about 10 years ago where people were billed for one vacant lot, and we figured that would be more fair because we had some people who had two or three vacant lots regularly paid, and then there were some with higher numbers of lots and didn't think that it was fair that they paid. So that is our situation in terms of the assessment collection. Just a note, we're in the process of preparing the budget for next year. We've had, as a result of the money collected back here, a surplus that was devoted or directed toward several big projects, which primarily include completing the repair on the bridge. That work is going to happen this summer, so this surplus is going to go away. The bank account yesterday had about $76,000. If you actually look at that, though, in terms of funds that are already dedicated, we're going to be starting this budgeting process with about $28,000. And so that is right about where we want to keep a reserve account, somewhere around $30,000. So I can't say what the assessments are going to be next year. It's still in the work. They may go up slightly. Probably not going to go up to what they were before. Okay, this shows what the assessment payment looks like in terms of a percent. And here I've combined the unpaid and the waived together to just represent the amount that is not being collected. So you can see over the last 5 years, we have had a series of years where the amount that's not being collected is about 30%. And this collection problem is something that has been brought up at all of the annual meetings that I've attended over the last 7 years. Tom says that all the years that he's been attending annual meetings.
1991.
Oh, well, that would include, I guess, the minutes that I found from 96 that brought the problem up. So it has been a continuing problem. In recent years, we've tried a variety of small things to do to try to encourage people to pay. In 2013, I believe, we had people call up people who weren't paying and talk with them. I know Ken and Judy Kelly and I think John Miller called people on. And I'm sure they were very persuasive, but I don't think it adds to the numbers. We also have done things like post the delinquent accounts on the website and deactivate the remote controls for the gates for people who haven't paid. But that really doesn't seem to have a whole lot of effect. Yes? Sure.
Is that, you may have said it in this, is that based on dollars or is that based upon properties?
Based on dollars. So this is a percentage of the total amount that we bill. Okay. And there are some things that I'll come back to later, but you know, when you go from a jump of 13% to 30%, that is something significant, something worth considering. I've seen this described. I've heard people say that the system is working well. It's worked well for the last 30 years. Why should we change? Well, if this were a car and you had 30% of your pistons not firing, you know, like a four-cylinder car firing at three or a six-cylinder car, eight firing with two not firing, you might be able to go down the road, but you're not going to go down the road very well. You'll sputter along. And if you're faced with any sort of major load on the system, you might come to a stop. And some people have said, well, it's just a few people who aren't paying. Well, if you look at 2013, that year we had 25 people who didn't pay. This year we had a much better rate of payment and it was down to 13 people who didn't pay. And that's roughly evenly spread between the improved lots and the vacant lots. It's not biased one direction or other. There may be a couple more vacant lots than improved lots that haven't paid, but there isn't a noticeable trend. So, few is a subjective. Yes?
Bill, any idea why the significant change between 2011 and 2012?
No. And I don't know if Ken remembers. Mike Henningsen would have been the person who could tell you, and sadly, Mike's not with us anymore. Mike was treasurer at the time. So, few is a subjective term, and I wanted to be sure what it actually means. So, like anything anymore, I went to Google and asked what does few mean, and the consensus that I found was 3 to 5. So, I would say that 25 and 14 are definitely more than a few.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It's a little misleading, though, in 2014 and 2015 by lumping the waived costs with the unpaid. So, you create the impression that it's still sort of increasing, but in fact, maybe not being increasing.
Yeah, I'm not talking about trends here. What I'm just talking about is that these are monies that are not being collected under the current system, but they would be collected under the system that we're proposing. And that was out of a matter of fairness. We didn't feel that it was fair for the people who owned two or three vacant lots and they're regularly paid, and we have somebody else who owns quite a few and isn't.
But why would you not understand why you would combine the unpaid and the waived, since the waiver is they can excuse.
Right.
Unpaid or not excuse.
Right. But all that I'm talking about is just what we're looking at is, you know, ideally we would like everybody to pay. And ideally you can argue that these people who own the multiple lots should pay for every lot. But they are not, because out of fairness to the people who own two or three vacant lots, we didn't feel that we could continue to have them pay when we can't collect money from somebody who owns a dozen.
I understand that's the way why you've done it, but I guess it seems a little misleading to include the unpaid with the waived, because it makes them look the same. They're not the same, because you've decided for reasonable reasons to be waived.
Okay. Yeah, I understand your point. Well, we could do that. But in the end, what we're talking about is developing a system where everyone will pay. And so what we're going to be comparing it then is what it would be if everyone would pay. And that's why they're long. Yes?
So then you're saying that if you went to this new system, you would not waive anything?
No. And it will become evident as I go along. Yeah.
What would that percent be if the waiver was taken out? Is it 18 or 25?
Just off the top of my head, I don't know, because I'm not looking at the page with all the numbers. So, you know. But, again, yes?
Just on your analogy of three cylinders, are we running well enough to repair the bridge?
Well, what happens, as will become evident, is that we're doing okay, but we're doing okay because we charge people more to make up for what it would be if everyone was paying. Okay, so I just want to go through how we came to where we are in terms of making this decision to come up with what we proposed. So back in November of 2012, while John Miller was president, the board decided to hire an attorney to research what options the South Beach Road Association had to come up with a system where everyone would pay. And at that time, we were focused on enforceable CCNRs, to have a system similar to that the Proposal Rock Homeowners Association has, where they levy assessments. If people don't pay, they can then put a lien on the person's property. Okay. We received the opinion of the attorney on August 31st, 2013, and that date is significant just because it also happened to be the day of our annual meeting. In this opinion, the attorney stated that we could not use enforceable CCNRs, or the only way in which we could use enforceable CCNRs is if 100% of the South Beach Road Association members agreed to them. And it seemed obvious that the people who aren't willing to pay aren't going to sign off to enforceable CCNRs. The final statement, we asked specifically about the CCNRs. We also asked, do you have any other suggestions? The final statement in the opinion was, as a legal structure for addressing South Beach Road Association's maintenance and cost allocation issues, a special road district may be a good fit. Up until that point, we had no idea what a special road district was. And seeing that the meeting was that same day, I don't know, I might even have got the memo by email after it, but all that we did at the meeting was that we said enforceable CCNRs are out, and we were left with something to the effect, well, maybe we can go after the people who aren't paying. And that was it. Okay. In March of 2014, both Mike and I had separately contacted Commissioner Leibhart, asking him about the process of establishing a special road district. Mark referred us to Tillamook County Chief of Staff, Paul Levesque, and Paul got back to us and said the statutes regarding special road district are complex. You should stop in and talk with me sometime and we could go over that. And that phrase complex might have scared us off a little. Other things came up, so we didn't meet with Paul right away. Okay, at the next annual meeting, August 30th, we talked about using Tillamook County's small claims court vehicle for collecting assessments. And we concluded that it was not a very attractive option. You have to pay something like between the sheriff and the court cost is $95. The big thing in terms of cost, though, is that a board member would have to go up there, go up to Tillamook, blow half a day, blow a whole day, and, you know, we're only volunteers, yes. And could you identify yourself?
William Sherlock. Did you talk to your board attorney, about the provisions of ORS 105 that allow the association to sue, to file an action against any unpaid property owner, file a complaint, and with the proviso that if you don't contribute your fair share, we can come after you for recovery of our attorney fees, which is all the time.
There still is a major expenditure on behalf of the volunteers who serve on the board. And we're not getting paid for doing this. You know, if somebody else wants to volunteer to go up there and do it, that's fine. At the time...
You actually wouldn't need anybody to go anywhere because you just call the attorney and say, file a complaint against this homeowner because they're not paying, send them a letter asking them to, and they refuse. Now you need to file a complaint. Just the boilerplate complaint, you could file it. I could do it in 10 minutes.
Okay, that position is noted. At the time, Bob Miller was here, and he was telling us that, you know, this might be a little fuzzy. And the fuzzy part is that we did not have enough confidence in the ORS 105-175. It's not that specific, and we weren't sure that we would win a case.
It can be appealed.
The whole issue of billing people for vacant properties would be an issue. What would they say if, you know, that? Okay. Well, that is where we're at. At that meeting, again, the questionable likelihood of success of this, and also the major thing is the time and expense that, again, our volunteer board would have to pay. So at this meeting, where it was left was that the board would look into the option of forming a special road district. 5 days prior to the annual meeting, I had posted the opinion of the attorney on the website and also the links to the statutes related to special road districts, and we recommended to people that they take a look at that. Okay, the next step in this was in January of 2015, we contacted Tillamook County Clerk, Cassie O'Neill, and I asked her, first of all, if there was any minimum number of registered voters required to perform a special road district, and as a part of that, I asked her how many registered voters there were in our area, and she replied to me about 30, and I responded, yes. People who live here and are registered to vote in Nesquen, in the South Beach area. And Cassie, I replied to her, that number seems high, and she said, no, it's about 30. This fall, I sat down with Cassie to go over the people that she had identified, and looking at it, the number was actually 29. She had rounded up. Out of that 29, 9 were people who lived on Beach Crest, the Beach Crest that is north of Nesquen. So you subtract that off, you get down to 20. Between January and September when I visited her, the Bijus sold their house and moved, so that dropped it down to 18. Since then, we've had two couples move in, so add another four people. We're going to have another couple move in the summer, another person who might move in full-time in the fall. So it'll be up to around 25. It's still a small number. It might represent about 10% of the households, and I'll talk about how we can deal with that later. Okay. Well, in March 2015, Tom Zellner and I visited with Paul Levesque to learn about forming a special road district. We took our information to the board at the meeting in June of 2015, and at that time the board decided to recommend forming a special road district, to recommend bringing it up to the membership at the annual meeting, that we thought forming a special road district was the way to go. The annual meeting was held on September 5th, 2015. A motion to prepare a petition to the county to form a special road district was approved, and that's where we're at. The petition, you know, nothing is said about filing the petition. The petition itself is a simple piece of paper. I mean, there's only a couple of sentences and the legal description of the area. The main thing that you're doing in this step right here is doing the background research, what it would actually mean to form a road district, how it would impact the community, and that's where we're at right now. Yeah,
sure. How many people attended the meeting on September 5th?
The meetings have been well attended since we started holding them on Labor Day, and so I think the number was 25. So if you look at the bylaws, a quorum is defined by the number of people who show up to the meeting, so we had a quorum. But again, the step that was taken on September 15th did nothing really more than to say, do the research on what it would involve for a special road district, and that's what we're doing. And what I'm going to propose here is what the next step is, which is getting more people involved in looking at this. Judy. Yes, it's something for property owners. It's not limited to registered voters. The petition is for all property owners. Okay, since that time, there have been various misstatements that I've seen, and what we want to do here is to hopefully clear those things up with what are the facts. I'm just going to go through the list of things, and then I'll deal with each of them in a little more detail. So starting off, the entry gate will not be removed. There will be no use of eminent domain. Tillamook County will not manage the operation of a special road district. All property owners will be able to participate in the selection of special road district officers. And just a couple other things. Most of the roads are owned by the original developers. And finally, the subdivision of the cove that has been proposed by Seabreeze Associates is in no way related to the formation of a special road district. Okay, starting off the first one, fact number one, the entry gate will not be removed. We could take a vote here today, have a unanimous vote that we want to remove the gate, and it won't happen. We share the operation of the gate with the Proposal Rock Homeowners Association, and I guarantee you they will not remove the gate. So, that, yes?
But if Tillamook County is managing the roads, and Tillamook County decides to take a gate out?
No. As one of the things I said is, Tillamook County will not manage the road. And I'll explain that as we go along. And I guess just coming back to this first point, one of the first questions that we asked Paul Levesque when we met with them is, can we form a special road district and keep the gate? And Paul said yes. If he had said no, that would have been it. I mean, we're not going to remove the gate. We don't want to remove the gate, and the Proposal Rock Homeowners Association would allow us to remove the gate. Okay, it's been reported that other road districts don't have a gate. Okay, Well, and this part is possibly speculation. If you look at gated communities, most of them probably are planned communities, communities that can have enforceable CCNRs, and so they don't need to form a road district. Looking at other special road districts around the state, with the 21 districts that I spoke with, the representatives, and I guess I didn't mention, there are 82 special road districts in the state. So I spoke with a little over a quarter of them. The road ownership varies among the different road districts. And also, the nature of the road varies. We have the situation where all of our roads are privately owned, and the roads dead end, either in the ocean, in the forest, or at a private residence. We have no thoroughfares where you go from one place to another and pass through the district. In the other road districts, some of them have roads that are county owned, some of them are privately owned, some of them are owned by the road district itself. In one case, or a couple cases, the county deeded ownership of the road to the road district. The government camp special road district has a combination of county-owned roads, privately owned roads, and Forest Service roads. So there are a whole mixture of things. Some of those with privately owned roads, like maybe many of them in Lincoln County, they have public access easements, which would prevent them from installing a gate. One of the questions that I asked all of these special district representatives was, do you have a gate? And all 21 replied no. Except there was one case, the special road district in Coos Bay, the Cedar Crest special road district, where the individual that I spoke with, Barry Markoff, told me that he had consulted with the best land use attorney in the state. That attorney told him, because your situation is similar to ours, private roads, no thoroughfare, you could have a gate. He said they considered installing a gate, but because their lots were so large, he said the lots were 5 acres or larger, they did not think they could adequately monitor a gate, and they were worried that it would be destroyed by vandalism. So even though they could have, on their legal opinion, established the gate, they decided not to and left it open. I tried to call the law office of that lawyer and found out he had retired. Okay, we recently received an opinion of an attorney, and what his opinion was that the statute related to the powers of the district, ORS 371336, is all-inclusive and reserves no powers to the county. So all of the power lies within the people of the special district. He went on to say that it is absurd to argue that the county would require removal of the gate. This opinion concurs with what Paul Levesque had told us in the beginning, and also what the director of membership services for the special districts of Special District Association of Oregon told me. Lou Ann Ritchie, who said she was familiar with Nesquin, she knew about the Southeast community, and what she told me was, whether you have a gate or not is a matter for the residents in the district. So if you want to vote to have a gate, we'll have a gate.
Question?
Yeah.
Do you know what the actual designation of the road would be once the road was converted into a
There is no conversion of the road. The road remains the road. The only thing about forming a special road district is that it deals with the maintenance of the road.
But my question is do you know specifically what the designation of that road would be? Would it be still a private road, or would it be a public local access road?
The assumption is that it would be a private road, and that is something that we need to follow up on as maybe with some other aspects of this, we need to get a clear legal opinion that, yes, that is it.
Well, because if it's a public road, whether it's a county road or a public road or a local access road, that is a public road, and therefore no member of the public can be denied access.
Right. And that,
and
right now,
you're proposing a public institution here, a road district, which has the power of eminent domain, it can not be deemed a private organization. It's being taxed with the revenue ad valorem taxes through the county.
We'll get that cleared up. We have had one opinion. This other road district had the opinion, but that isn't a problem.
Well,
but
it's a basic question, though, because if it's a public road, anybody can sue if they have access. Any member of the public can say,
right,
I want to get access.
And just so we can move along, if it turns out that that is where things are, that if in doing this, it would be deemed a public road, we wouldn't do anything more. That'd kill it. So this is all based on the assumption that we can continue with the present private ownership. And that is what, you know, we still have a couple things to do. We haven't completely finalized this, but we will make sure that everything checks out legally. There is precedent, and we'll get the answers. Yes?
No. And they
no.
Clean the road?
No. And that will become evident as I go along. I'll explain all that. Again, coming back here, the powers of the district are all inclusive. There are no powers that are left to the county. They will not manage it. That's it. Okay. There will be no eminent domain. It turns out that eminent domain is a power that is given to many of the different types of special districts. Many of the special districts that you currently fund with your property tax. The water district that you pay into has the power of eminent domain. The fire district here, the Nasaka Rural Fire Protection District, has the power of eminent domain. The Tillamook Soil and Water Conservation District also has the power of eminent domain. All of those districts have the power of eminent domain. Just because you have the power does not mean that you're going to exercise it. I ask.
Excuse me.
Yes.
But you may not wish to exercise it, but in fact, it is in place. And part of being a county road is that eminent domain is part of the county cross-section.
Okay, thank you, Patty, but it will not be a county road. And again, as I said, that there will be no use of eminent domain. And
excuse me, how can you promise that? I mean, you're not, the association hasn't even...
If you'll give me a chance to speak, I'll tell you how it comes up. So
let me ask you a question. Are you an attorney?
I am, sir.
Well, he is not. If it gets to the point where one attorney is arguing with another one, maybe that will take place another day. And by the way, who's paying you? Or are you doing this pro bono?
So,
sometime during the day, maybe we will know what the agenda is.
28 property owners put up the money to hire Mr. Sherlock to be here today. And he's here today because Commissioner Josie told us on December 18th go hire an attorney. And that's what we've done.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. If I could continue. So I asked the Special Districts Association of Oregon Director of Memberships if she could provide me membership services, if she could provide me any examples of any special road district that had used eminent domain. There are 82 special road districts. Not only did she say that she could not come up with any examples of a special road district that had used eminent domain, she could not come up with examples of any of the other 31 types of different districts using eminent domain, and there are many districts within those 31 types, so there's no ready example of people using eminent domain. Yes?
John Kingsley, this is going to seem like a really stupid question. But I don't understand why the county would wish to maintain a private road.
Okay, again, the county is not maintaining the private road. And, Mark?
I'll address it later when I speak.
Okay. So, has anybody here ever been involved in been a party in an eminent domain procedure? Well, I'm sorry for you. I have been involved, I've been a party in an eminent domain procedure in another state. We fought it. We lost. Our property was taken. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But one of the things that you learn going through that experience is that it's expensive. And we lost our property. We fought it to the end. We received more money than the initial offer. But it is expensive. Anytime we've had major expenses come before the Road Association, we've brought it up for a vote for the total for the whole membership. When we hired the engineering firm to plan and execute the repair of the bridge, when we did the paving project on South Beach Road going up the hill, we came to the membership and asked for their approval. Any use of eminent domain would be significantly more expensive than that, and it would be brought up before the membership. And is there a majority of the group here, do you think, that would approve eminent domain? I mean, in terms of just common sense, that isn't going to occur.
And, excuse me, but the decision on eminent domain is not this audience and not this group of property owners.
It's
a three-member board that is selected to run the special road.
Okay. And what you... To me, and maybe I'm interpreting this wrong, I'm not a psychologist, but what you're suggesting is that there is going to be some massive personality change that when we become a special district, the people like who are up here now serving as board members are going to all of a sudden get this desire to take over property by eminent domain. And again, I'm not a psychologist, but I haven't detected that personality within the people that I've served with and the other people who have served on the board over the time there. Okay, finally, again, this issue, eminent domain, but the special district is dead. I don't know what the county's plans are, but I am pretty sure the county has no interest in taking over our roads.
And no ability to take over
roads, right? Right. That was a legal precedent that was cited to me by Paul Levesque concerning the utility in Eugene, that a public entity cannot take over a private entity if the intended use of that new public entity would be the same as the existing private use. So you cannot take over what is already a private road for the intent of making it a public road because it already serves its purpose as a private road. But again, I'm not an attorney. That is just what had been told to me. Okay, the next thing, the fact number three. Tillamook County will not manage the operation of the Special Road District. One of the questions that I asked all 21 representatives of the Special Road Districts around the state was, did their county have any role in management of the road district? All of them said no. The county has no role at all. Other than the process of appointing the commissioners. And this includes the Three Rivers Ranch in Peabo, which is the only special road district in Tillamook County. The representative there told me that, no, county's not involved. And this agrees with the statute concerning powers of the district. The powers are of the district are all-inclusive in that no powers are reserved to the county. So the county will not in any way be involved with the management of the district. Okay. Fact four, all property owners can participate in the selection of the road district officers. Yes, road district officers, the commissioners, have to be selected from the registered voters. There are two ways in which these officers can be selected. They can either be elected, in which case only the registered voters in the district would be able to vote for them, or they could be appointed by the commissioners. All of the road districts that I contacted chose that other option. All of their commissioners were appointed by the county commissioners. What we are going to recommend is that the commissioners will be chosen at the South Beach Road Association annual meeting. Current voting rules of the South Beach Road Association will follow. The names of the commissioners will then be given to the Tillamook County commissioners for approval. And This is the way they currently do things at Three Rivers Ranch in Hebron. They hold an annual meeting that is open to all property owners. They vote on three individuals. Again, they have to be registered voters, but they vote on three individuals, and they are then the officers. I've gone through the 40 years of records for the Three Rivers Ranch District, and every 2 or 3 years, they send a memo to the county commissioners listing the three people that they want to be commissioners. The county commissioners approve it, and that's the way it works. Okay, road ownership. Looking at the road ownership, a little over two-thirds of the roads are owned by the Fultz family and its various entities, Seabreeze Associates, LEW Engineering, and Julian Partnership. Bill Hyatt owns 14% of the roads. Mike Erickson owns 9%, and the remaining 9% is owned by various individuals who own the piece of road right in front of their property. Okay, and this is special for two reasons. One is the exclamation point. I can confidently say in 50 years, if you do the annual statistics, I've never used, my rate would be consistently lower than one exclamation point per year. So I put the exclamation point in there to maybe try to get some idea across. Even though I've said it repeatedly, I'll say it again. The formation of a special road district has nothing to do with this proposed subdivision of the Cove.
Question. Does the subdivision meet current road standards required by the county for approval?
There was to have been a planning commission hearing scheduled for Thursday, and that has been postponed, canceled, and rescheduled until May 12th. You can go online. You can
order.
What?
This is supposed to be about the road district.
Just one point, please. That's been rescheduled for May 12th. You can still go online, though. You can read the staff report. And if you look on page 9 of the staff report, section 6, subsection 4, subsection B, staff report prepared by the Department of Community Development, section B, public works will not require widening of existing roads. So that is the recommendation of the Office of Community Development to the Planning Commission. And your question about whether it meets the standard, no. In the land use ordinance, it says a minimum width of 30 feet. So that's a question for the Planning Commission at the time that this is brought up. Okay, so how would the system work? Well, what is going to happen is that our current means of annually collecting assessments is going to be replaced by a line item on your property tax. That line item will say something like South Beach Road District, and the money collected there will be dedicated to the maintenance of our roads and common areas. There will be a millage rate calculated from estimated budget expenditures and also the total assessed value of the district properties. Okay. Well, actually, I'm going to go through a calculation. So hold on. I'm going to use equations, but equations with few and simple terms. At this point, though, millage rates are unique to the district. It all depends, first of all, how many roads you have, the length of roads that you have, and what it takes to maintain them. And then it depends on the total assessed value of your district. And looking at about the state, I've seen a range of values from 25 cents per thousand to $2.90 per thousand. So again, it depends on the expenditures that you expect and the value of your properties. So what's going to happen is that, again, the South Beach Road District would appear on the right here with the other special districts. And the millage rate that would be applied, that comes up with a number there, would be based on the assessed value of your property, not the real market value, but the assessed value. On average, in our community, the assessed value of the improved lots, those with a house on it, is about 81% of the real market value. The assessed value of the vacant lots is about 82%, so it's lower. As far as what the real market value represents, I guess it is the assessor's estimate of what your house is worth. It might not be directly related to what you just paid for the house. And the simplest thing there is, if you have a question about either of these items, the real market value or the assessed value, call up the assessor's office, ask to speak to an assessor, and they'll explain it to you. Okay, so to get an estimate, again, millage rates are unique to the districts. To get an estimate, what I've done is to tabulate the total assessed value within the South Beach Road Association, broken it down by different lot types. First of all, we have 9 lots that are identified as being unbuildable. These are generally lots on really steep slopes, or they're swamps. And then the breakdown between vacant lots and improved is 79 vacant and 66 improved. These are the assessed values, and totaled up, we have a total assessed value for the district of $42,668,723. That's a number you can remember for the next slide. The other two numbers that I'm going to use later on is the average assessed value of the vacant lots, shown here, and the average assessed value of the improved lots. So, I want to go through an example millage rate calculation, and I'm going to emphasize this is an example. What we actually come up with would not necessarily have to be the number that I show here. But this is a pretty good estimate because it's going to be based on what we spent for the 5 years from 2011 to 2015. Average those out, and that's how we'll get an estimate of this initial millage rate. So, doing that, the average expenditure for these 5 years turned out to be $23,500.27. That 27 cents isn't significant, but I just wanted to let you know I'm not rounding off. That's what the number actually turned out to be. So the millage rate is just taking the average expenditure, this number here, dividing it by the total assessed value, so that $42,668,723, and that gives us, again, for this example millage rate, 55 cents per $1,000. Again, when this is actually applied, it will depend on what we think the expenditures will be for the coming year. This is a pretty good guess. The last 5 years have been pretty average. And 55 is a handy number. It's an easy one to multiply in your head if you want to figure out what your assessment would be for your property. Okay, well, to show the financial impact of special road district funding, I'm going to use 2 plots. And in the next slide, one will be comparing what we've paid in the past by our collection technique versus what a property with the average assessment value, those two numbers from that previous table, what they would pay. The second slide is going to be a percentile comparison, and I'll explain what that is when we get to it. So, looking at this first plot, we've got it divided between improved lots, vacant lots. Again, the average over that 5-year period for improved lots is $440, $176 for vacant lots. Last year, we paid $350 for improved lots, $140 for vacant lots. And using that average value for all the improved lots, applying that 55 cent example millage rate, what you come up with is an average assessment rate of $257. For vacant lots, it would be $82. So what you're seeing here is the price reduction that you might experience as a result of having everybody contribute to funding the road district. So the takeaway message, using, again, our example, 55 cents per $1,000, the average road district assessment will be substantially less than what it has been in recent years.
And it's a tax deductible.
Right. If you itemize your income tax because it appears in your property tax, it'll be deductible and reduced by whatever rate you're paying in your income tax. Okay, for the percentile comparison, here, again, divided between improved lots and vacant lots, and the green color represents the average for the five-year period. The blue represents the comparison for last year. And what I've done here is just to go through, take all of the properties, all of the assessed values for all of your properties, multiply it by that 55 cents, and see where you've come out compared to what has been charged in recent years. So for the improved lots, doing that calculation, taking all of your rates, comparing it to the $440 that we paid, 93% of the properties would pay less than $440. Just comparing to what was paid last year, $350, 83% of the improved lots would pay less than $350. For the vacant lots, 95% would pay less than the average of $160, 91% would pay less than $140. So the takeaway message here is that, just rounding off, 80% of the improved lot owners would pay 80% of the improved lot owners, 90% of the vacant lot owners will be paying less than what they've been paying in recent years.
What determines then how that 0.55 can be saved? That's like now, but then
Yep. And if you can stay awake until the end of the talk, you're going to get to that point. We'll just make it simpler not to say it here and then repeat it again. Actually, we might get to it all on this slide. Okay, so one of the requirements of a road district is that you file a budget every year prior to the start of the fiscal year. And that budget form includes the projected expenditures for the coming year, and I guess that was closer to your answer than I thought. The projected expenditures for the coming year, and the millage rate. So every year you submit a budget, you calculate a millage rate, and that's what is applied. And that budget then serves as a blueprint of operations for the coming year. And here is a critical point, which I think you brought up also, that at the time you form the district, you must establish a maximum millage rate. And you have to be careful in choosing that because it is a permanent rate. You cannot exceed that in the future. So, to some extent, you have a cushion provided by inflation. Your expenses are going to increase by inflation, but you hope that your property values will also increase by inflation and that they'll balance each other out. That doesn't always work. The individual that I spoke with from the Panoramic Access Special Road District in Sisters was telling me that they had a real problem now because they were formed in the 1970s, they specified a maximum rate, and that maximum rate was no longer sufficient to meet their needs. And it had hit this guy fairly recently. He said they've had a greater than normal amount of rainfall. He just came up with a $7,000 snowfall. They had a $7,000 snowfall budget, and they're having a hard time paying for it. So this is a critical step in the initial point indicating what the maximum millage rate is going to be. So, again, just to emphasize that, you have to set this permanent rate high enough to account for inflation and operating expenses. And then, every year, you will calculate the actual millage rate that is going to be applied, and generally, unless some emergency comes up, it is going to be less than the maximum rate. Okay, so up to this point, I've been talking about things that are tangible in the sense that they represent financial matters. Some of these other things might not have a direct impact on you, but they do have a direct impact on the association. And a very big one here is that the Southeast Road Association will no longer be responsible for bill collection, which might be something that you don't think about or have to deal with. But every year we have to go through, we have to update our database, we have to make sure that people are being billed correctly, that they're paying for an improved lot or a vacant lot, and we try as best as possible to get mailing addresses correct. If anybody has a problem, let us know and we'll update it. We've got some problems because some people, we get our addresses from the assessor's office. Some people have their property tax notices sent to a lawyer's office, to someone else other than themselves. So sometimes it takes a little to get through. But there's that bookkeeping expense. There's also the fact that we'll send out a billing notice. Some people won't pay. We send out another billing notice. And then one thing that is, you know, really annoying is that the checks will dribble in. We'll have to deal with around 100 checks. So we have an accountant who collects this, takes them in piece by piece. So all of this will go away under the special road district. Also, it's something that you might not think about unless you've been on a board like this or in your business. There is a significant liability dealing with payments like that. You have to be above reproach in terms of your handling them. First of all, you want to hope that the Postal Service doesn't lose them. We've had somebody say that, well, I mailed that to you. Well, we didn't get it. But you don't want anybody to accuse you of pocketing the money. Like, I noticed you have a diamond-studded dog collar. Did that come from your South Beach Road Association payment? Or you don't want to accidentally lose the money, the checks. If you can get out of the bill collection business, that would be great. And that is what would be possible with the special road district. The assessments would be collected by the county assessor as a part of your property tax. The money is sent to them, and they will then send the district a monthly check. And they do that all for free. So everything up here that we're wasting time and money on, or spending time and money on, goes away with this. And all owners will pay. The county will collect. They are more effective at collecting than we are. Yes?
If the county clerk will send a monthly check, I'm not sure what you mean by monthly check. For what?
For the money that they have collected. We are no longer collecting the money. The county collects the money, and then they will send us the money that they collect.
As it comes in. Or
monthly checks.
Each month. That's
oh, no. They send it to you as it comes in. And that is one minor point. Most of the people pay their taxes close to when they come out. By the time you get to the next summer, the amount of money coming in will be less. And they said they will sometimes combine checks. So they send you the money monthly as it comes in. Okay. As far as other things, operation-related impacts, as a special road district, the commissioners would be required to hold monthly meetings. An agenda would be posted in advance, so the meetings are going to be open to the public and recorded. Recordings will be posted on the South Beach Road Association website. Any Tom, Dick, or Harry. They are open to the public. And there is, in the office of the Water District and Sewer District, they have a meeting room in the former Lester Fultz house. It's ideally suited for this, and it makes it an easy location to have meetings like that. Okay, another requirement is that an annual budget is to be filed with the assessor's office prior to the start of the year, because they have to take the millage rate that you indicate, put it onto the tax form. Also, an annual audit form is filed with the Secretary of State. And you know, government paperwork. It's going to be a lot of work and all that sort of stuff. The forms are simple. They're available online. You can go to the Secretary of State office, go to the Audit Division, and you can pull up all the audit reports from various districts. The one of the road association, road district places that I looked at posted their budget online. I've got a copy of that if you want to look at it. It's real simple accounting, not any different than what our accountant currently provides. Okay, the other thing that would be required is that we'd be required to follow state contracting and purchasing guidelines, and people might say that that's a flag. I dealt with those guidelines for over 30 years, and it is not a big hassle. If anything, it is a benefit because it encourages competitive bidding. If the vendors that you go to know that they have to offer you a price that somebody else is going to bid against, they will try to do as well as they can. Also, it ensures impartiality. No more suggestions that you are hiring that particular contractor to work on the road because he's your brother-in-law or anything like that. So that is actually a good thing. There are a number of impacts tied to the Special Districts Association of Oregon, which we'd be eligible to become a member of. And this includes things such as guidance and operating board, holding meetings, following those state guidelines. Also, they have people to provide legal and financial advice for managing the district. And the you are eligible for the Special District's Insurance Services Insurance Program that will offer reduced rate insurance for special districts. We currently have to pay for insurance for the board, and Tom could tell you what else is covered, but through this organization, there is the possibility of reduced rate insurance. Okay, other impacts. Solid legal basis for collecting assessments. Currently, I don't have any records for the association that extend beyond past 1996. I don't know where the early records are, and we try to do the best that we can in terms of operating the district, but as an association. But questions sometimes come up in terms of, can we actually do this? Are we doing the right thing? It would be a lot better if we had solid knowledge on how this was formed. What exactly are we when we say we're a domestic nonprofit? And we're at the point where it would be really nice to put all this down just for our benefit and anyone who comes on the board in the future. We could do that. It would be a matter of doing a fair amount of research, going back to try to recover old records and research to see what that all means. But it is kind of like trying to put something together and updating things, putting it together by scratch, as opposed to adopting a system where everything is laid out. It's like you're doing something from scratch versus doing something from a kit. Everything is laid out. There's a template. There are requirements for holding meetings, requirements for filing financial records. And with that, you would be transparent and in good standing. The special district means would provide a stable, guaranteed assessment income. So like that jump from 2011 to 2012, a 17% fluctuation. You'd no longer see that sort of thing. Again, the consequence of that is generally, you know, if you had targeted in going into 2012 based on the receipts in 2011, and then 17% of the people didn't pay, you'd be out on a limb. So in the end, what you end up doing is overcompensating by billing people more. And I mentioned this before, there would be increased transparency in all financial records and in all activities of the district. And there as a special district, you would be eligible to apply for grants for expenditures for a variety of things that we might encounter. Replacing one of the culverts along South Beach Road, for example, we could qualify for grants for. Also, resiliency, community resilience along the coast is a hot topic right now. How you can adapt to rising sea level, increasing storm frequency, if there is anything that we take care of, like roads that might be affected by storms, erosion, and all that. There potentially are grants out there that we could apply for, and the Special District Association of Oregon would provide assistance in applying for those grants.
No.
We're current. Some of the grants specifically state that you have to be some sort of county-related entity, and to our best of our knowledge, we don't know.
So does the county charge us for any of this services they're going to give
us
for bill collecting and making sure that if someone doesn't pay, they send out a
statement
saying, like,
in a
tax inflation?
No.
So
it's
all free, huh?
That would all be free.
I'll
be
back.
Yeah, fine. We're not paying directly for it. So that is sort of interesting why they do that. And it's a benefit. Okay. Well, I just want to talk about some of the conversations that I had with representatives from other road districts and also the local realtors. One of the questions I asked the other people from the road districts was, how well does your system work? How effective is district operation? And uniformly, the comments that I received were positive, very positive. From works very well to fantastic. I did not receive any comments that don't do this, this isn't working at all. I mean, it was amazing the consistency by which they said that this is a good thing. I had suggestions. If you can do it, do it. There was one person who maybe was a little more sober and said that you get out of it what you put into it. And he said it depended on having a good board to manage the district. This is the Crooked River Ranch District in Jefferson County, and they, I think, were doing very well. They have 90 miles of roads. They have an annual budget of around $260,000, and it seemed like they were accomplishing over that 90 miles of roads what they wanted to do. One thing that I also consistently heard from the people from the other road districts was that there is a noticeable difference in their case between their roads that were supported by a special road district and those of the adjacent communities. Just the other day, I spoke with a guy from Philomath, a guy named Attila Caroli, and repeatedly during the conversation he said, we have a fantastic road, we have a great road. You compare our road with the adjacent county road and it's a night and day difference. So the people with the road districts, the ones who currently have the experience using the road districts, were very positive about that. I also asked them about what they perceived as the effect on property values and sales. And these people don't have little databases where they record the actual amounts that places are going for here and there. But I think their qualitative observations are probably good. And what they told me consistently was that they thought that their property values were higher, the sales were affected positively by the existence of a road district. I also asked the local realtors the same question, what they thought the effect on property values and the saleability of the properties would be. And they essentially echoed the comments of the road district representatives. There were four realtors that I spoke with, Susan and Janice Hood in the South County area. They did not have experience dealing with road districts. I spoke with two realtors from Lincoln County, Mike Regan, who has a number of properties listed up on the hill. And Mike's comment was, that's a fantastic idea. Establishing a road district would be fantastic. No, he didn't say fantastic. He said awesome. So he thought it'd be a good idea. And just to comment on this, the reason for these comments, the message that came out was that if you are supporting your roads, if you can bring potential buyers into a neighborhood and you can say that they have this road district in place, there is a demonstrable ability to maintain the roads. That has a big influence on the people who are coming into the area. So how can we make this work in a way that we can bring the people who are full-time residents here together with people who are part-time? And our intent is to put together a system that will allow all property owners to have a say in the management of the district. There are existing examples where this is being done, the Mary River State Property Owners Association and Road District in Saloma have a joint relationship that allows everyone to interact, and the way in which the Three Rivers Ranch in Hebo has an annual meeting open to all property owners, where all property owners get to vote on the commissioners and do whatever else they do at the annual meeting. So to do this would require changes to the current South Beach Road Association bylaws, and I'm going to give you some general ideas. We don't have specifics ironed out, but if other property owners want to get involved, participate in how we could come up with a joint plan, you're welcome to join in. So, again, these are the general bylaws changes that have come about. Article 3 deals with things related to members and specifically defining members related to whether they pay the assessments or not. Those parts would be changed because everyone would be paying, so everyone would be a member. All the parts in Article 3 related to holding meetings like this meeting and the annual meeting would remain intact, as well as the current method that we use for voting. Articles 4 and 5 dealing with annual dues and maintenance assessment would either change or be eliminated because the road district mechanism would take away the current pattern or the current process for collecting assessments. And the articles that deal with the board of directors and committees would have to be changed to accommodate that, and we don't have the specific wordage how they'd be changed, but I'm going to give some suggestions. So what we're proposing is that, and again, this is all tentative. If people have ideas they want to suggest, we could incorporate that. We'd have two bodies that would manage the merged road association and road district. There are the commissioners, the officers that are specified in the road district provision. They would be responsible for the overall management of the district. And then we would establish a budget committee that is responsible for preparing the annual budget. So for the road commissioners, again, they have to be people from who are registered voters in the district, but they would be selected by a vote of all the South Beach Road Association members and then put up to the county commissioners for the official appointment. The responsibility of the commissioners would be to manage the district in accordance with the budget that is provided to them by the budget committee. And then what they would provide the budget committee is the information that is necessary to prepare a budget. So they would identify a list of projects, get quotes from vendors, and provide estimates for routine maintenance. And also, through these monthly meetings, they would serve as a forum for property owners. You know, the internet is great for quickly disseminating information to a lot of people, but if misstatements are put out there, it spreads like wildfire and you can't put them out. If we had a forum where people could get together monthly, if they have complaints, they could come there, address the commissioners directly, and it might work out a lot easier. Yes?
So the members or the committee registered voters only within
yeah.
a year.
Right.
So that's a pool of, you said, 25 perhaps, to 29?
Yeah, by this fall it might be 25.
And
I mean,
there's three of those.
Right.
And then they speak for the 90 of us.
Just in the same way that the current board speaks, and the current board will have, or it's completely open to anyone telling us, but, you know, but by a, one of the things is that the number of meetings that go up, if you have anything, show up and express your opinion. Okay, the budget committee would be a committee comprised of the treasurer, would serve as a liaison with other commissioners, and then three individuals that could be selected from the entire South Beach Road Association membership. They would be elected at the annual meeting. They would serve staggered three-year terms like the commissioners, and they would be responsible for preparing the budget with the information provided to them by the commissioners, but they could also have the ability to recommend additions or subtractions to the budget. They would be the ones who determine the annual millage rate based on preparing the budget. And they could meet quarterly or whatever frequency they deemed as important. Just ask that the meetings be open to the public and recorded. With a less stringent meeting schedule, it might be easier for people who are non-residents to participate in this. And then they would meet annually with the commissioners, and together they would come up with the final budget. So, where do we go from here? This presentation and the recording of this meeting is going to be posted on the South Beach Road Association website. In the assessment notice that goes out in April, I am going to include a paragraph concerning this presentation and a recommendation to all the people, all the members, to examine the materials that are posted online. If people are unable to access material online, we'll send them a paper copy. We'll toss in a CD with a recording. And people, if you have questions about what we've gone over here, the special road district thing in general, address those questions to the board. We will post those questions online in July. We can continue to post them up until the annual meeting, but get them in earlier so everybody has an opportunity to look at them. In the August letter that is sent out with the change in gate code and announcing the annual meeting, I will again include a paragraph telling people to take a look at the online materials. And we can then discuss this again at the annual meeting. This room has already been reserved for the annual meeting. According to the bylaws, I can't announce a meeting any earlier than 60 days before. But if you show up here the Saturday before Labor Day at around 10 o'clock, there's a good likelihood you'll run into your neighbors. Yeah.
Any property owner information for the website posting in July?
Yeah, right. You submit it, we'll post it. And we will, if there are questions, we'll try to answer them. If you're raising a point, we will try to provide our side. Well, what I want to do, what the board would like to do, is to get all of you people here involved, but everyone else who wasn't able to make it here, Labor Day, it probably will be better weather, but we want to be as open about this as possible. We want to have a complete discussion. And again, there are no deadlines. Hopefully by Labor Day, we'll have a clear idea about where things are going. But, you know, this is what it is.
You said the county would be forwarding collected taxes.
The county would be what?
Would be forwarding their collected taxes.
So what, under the road district?
Sure. Any increase in both on their taxes?
Current on their taxes? I don't know. I mean, he is not current on his. South Beach Road Association payments, but, you know, taxes.
If they don't pay me, they don't get anything.
Oh. Well, I mean, Mark could maybe explain exactly how the county works, but my impression is that if you don't pay for 3 years, they put a lien on your property. The county will collect in the end. Question? Right. But again, the county is not taking over the roads. The road district. Well, I mean.
My question is, so 10 to 20% would pay more?
Yeah. Some people would pay a little more.
And my problem would be the same.
Right. But right now, everybody pays the same, but everybody doesn't use the road the same. There are trade-offs either way. If you think about it, particularly looking at the idea that we're in part charging something that is based on the value of the property, those properties that are worth more potentially will benefit more proportionately if we are providing increased value. Yes, sir.
Am I correct?
Oh, excuse me. No, go ahead.
Am I correct that if either the gate had to be removed or if the road was deemed to be a county road, the board would not endorse this?
Well, yeah.
Question, please.
Okay. The question is whether if the gate had to be removed or if it was deemed to be a county road, this wouldn't go any farther. Yeah, it wouldn't go any farther. But first of all, it isn't going to be deemed a county road. It is going to remain what it is, a private road. And it isn't.
Otherwise, the other road districts would not report that they have county roads, public roads.
Right. What I'm telling you is based on my conversation with all these other districts. There are districts that have private roads, and that's allowable.
Again, I think the point to consider is that there is not a single gated private road that is a special road district anywhere in the state of Oregon. You're trying to create an animal that does not exist.
Well,
and you're bringing in the county to collect the taxes for a private gated road.
Yes.
Does not make sense.
Well,
you're bringing in the county commissioners to appoint the road commission for a private road. That doesn't make sense.
Okay, can I speak?
Now, you've been on the stage for an hour and a half.
Okay.
We have an attorney that we have hired to be here that represents a significant number of property owners.
Excuse me. Let me speak. Specifically, specifically in regard to your question, again, I have spoken with representatives from over a quarter of special road districts. There are special road districts that have private roads. There was, still is, a special road district that received the legal opinion that they could install a gate. We have a lawyer who has said, yes, you can install a gate. This idea that you have that we can't install a gate because this is a special road district does not hold up. We will get other legal opinions. Bottom line is we will not do it if we don't have the gate. But all indications now, based on conversations that we've had with other people, conversations directly or indirectly with lawyers, is that this is possible. So we're going to verify that going into the future. Yes?
Going back to what you said about the Frozen Rock Association and the gate, it kind of sounds like insurance against
them. Well, yeah. They will not.
Can you explain how decisions, if South Beach, in theory, didn't agree with the Frozen Rock?
We haven't had that sort of disagreement. We've always been able to get along between the two. And people who are concerned about outsiders coming into the district, doing stuff right in front of your house, making a mess and all that, it's probably more of a problem than Proposal Rock. They're the first roads in going into the district. And what I've heard from friends who live in Proposal Rock during the period when the RV park people were coming in, most of them were turning in and going through their neighborhood. So they are not going to... Well, I know, based on my conversations with them, they are not going to remove the gate. They are not going to do anything that would result in removing the gate. So that is a completely dead issue.
Are we in conversation with the Proposal Rock people?
Yeah.
Do they know this is imminent?
Tom has spoken with Jack Patel just the other day and talked about that. Actually, before we go any further, Mark, did you have any comments you'd like to make?
Could I just ask a quick question?
Yeah.
I'm just curious what percentage of the property owners of the South Beach Road Association are here. Can you give any estimate at all?
There currently are about 110 different property owners, so we might have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we share for that stretch between Highway 101 and the Proposal Rock Loop, we share expenses.
So just that little piece, they also pay.
Yeah.
Mark? Okay. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mark Lappart. I've been with the County Commission for 12 years. I'm currently chair of the Board of County Commissioners. The reason that I'm here is to, I think, do a couple things. I want to first make it very clear what the roles and responsibilities of the Board of Commissioners is and is not. And I also want to address some of the worst fears I've heard in the room, and then answer any questions that you might have, what the role and responsibility of the county is. It is fairly limited. I'm going to actually read to you from the statute what our role is. And it's 195, you have a handout here that doesn't address it, so I'm going to address it specifically. 195.805, if you want to look it up. It says, at the time stated in the notice, the county board shall hear the petition and determine in accordance with the criteria prescribed in ORS 192.462, which I will go over in just a second, whether the area could be benefited by the formation of a district. The county board may adjourn the hearing from time to time, but not exceed 4 weeks in all unless additional notice is given. The county board may alter the boundaries set forth in the petition to either include or exclude territory. The board may not modify the boundaries to A, exclude from the proposed district land that in the judgment of the board could be benefited by the inclusion of the proposed district, or include the proposed district land that in the judgment of the board could not be benefited by the inclusion of the proposed district. In other words, drawing a boundary around it that is logical. That's essentially what that says. So then it goes to 198.810, and it says order for formation, final hearing, election, voter approval, incurred bond and indebtedness. The county board shall approve, modify, or reject the petition for formation using only the criteria set forth, is what I just read. So let me go now to 199.462. It's just fairly short, so I'm just going to read it. Standards for review of boundary changes territory that may not be included in the certain boundaries. In order to carry out the purposes described in the ORS, when reviewing petitions for boundary change or application under the ORS, the Boundary Commission shall consider local comprehensive planning for the area, economic, demographics, sociological trends, and projections pertinent to the proposal, past and prospective physical development of the land that may directly or indirectly be affected by the proposed boundary change or application of the ORS, and is subject to any provisions to the contrary of the principal act of the affordable district or city or subject to the proposal or district or charter. That doesn't apply. The territory within the city may not be included within the territory. This isn't a city, so it doesn't include that. And the territory within the district may not be included within an annex or other district subject to the same principle. So essentially what we do is, if you petition us to form a district, we hold public hearings. We come and listen. We say, what does the majority of the community think? Do you want to vote on this or not? What do you think are the boundaries? We listen to you, and then the board makes a decision on whether to propose the district or not. It's that simple. That's all we do. Okay? So, now let me address some of the worst fears that I've heard. The big elephant in the room appears to be the county's going to take this over. This is a private road, and the county will take it over. We can't even maintain the roads we've had now. There is absolutely no way that the county is going to come in. We would be glad to put it in writing. We'd be glad to put it in a letter. Whatever makes you feel comfortable. We have no intention of taking over, assuming, proposing, or doing anything with this private loan. I can guarantee you all three commissioners are on that. So then the question becomes, well, you may not be a commissioner for now. We'd be glad to put it in an order if need be. I can guarantee you we will not take over a private loan. Yes, ma'am. What do we get out of it? We help set it up. That's all we do. What personally do we get out of it? If it's in the benefit of the citizen, this is a democracy. If the citizens say that we would like to form a district and assess ourselves to pay for a road district, and we don't have any other way to do that other than through another government entity, we're willing to help you set that up. That's what we get out of it. That's all we get out of it. We have no interest in. We're not going to charge you anything. We do it for free, sir. I mean, you pay for it already on your property tax.
We pay for it already.
Yeah, right. You pay for it on your property tax. The assessor's not going to charge us additional fee for collecting it. Let me use the Three Rivers Ranch Road District, for example. It is the only special district that we have. We have a lot of special districts in the county. The fire district is a special district. But the road district, the only special road district we have in the county, is the Three Rivers Ranch Road District. It's a fairly simple little private road district. They're not county roads, been in effect for a long time. What they do is every year they come back and they say, we've got a board member that wants to retire. And we've had a meeting of all the property owners and we want to submit this name as the commissioner for the district. Well, okay, so we can say, oh, well, we don't like that person. We just rubber stamp. That's all we do. I mean, if you have a proposal and you, as the property owner, say you'd like to have this person as your district commissioner, then it just comes to the board and we just appoint an official. We don't say, well, we want to hear from this person. We listen to what you say. You're the property owners. You're the public. You're the ones benefiting from us. So we don't try to manipulate anything. It's pretty straightforward, folks. I mean, I'm not going to say whether I support it or not. If you want to do it, we will make it happen for you. But we're not going to say, well, we think it's in favor. Now let's talk about the gate. That seems to be a big issue. We're not going to weigh in on the gate. That's not our role. That's not our responsibility. If you form a district, you decide how you want to manage your road district. The county commissioners are not going to come in and say, well, we think you ought to have a gate or not have a gate. That's up to you. All we're doing is setting up the process to help you make a better decision. And let's go to the other worst fear, the collection of taxes. I guarantee you the county will get you one way or another. You won't pay your taxes. So if somebody doesn't pay, they have a period of time, I think it's 3 years, and it moves into absolute foreclosure. So we can end up, if you don't pay your property taxes over a period of time, and it'll end up in county ownership. And what we do is we turn around and sell the property and recover the property taxes. So everybody pays sooner or later. Yes, sir.
Commissioner, I appreciate your presentation. I think you're accurate in terms of how the district is formed and the county board. And I don't have any reason to believe that the county would have a dog in the game anyway. But if you ask your legal counsel or a legal precedent that they can point to and say, if the county doesn't want to take over this road system, fair enough, I believe. However, if a member of a third party said, I want access to the public to the beach, that we have a right as a citizen in Oregon because there's public access to dry sand beach, and you want to get there from Lincoln City, and you want to advertise that as an option for our clientele, our bed and breakfast down the coast. And they sue the road district for right of access to get through there. Have you had a legal attorney give you a legal opinion as to whether or not that lawsuit would succeed.
No.
Could
I? No, the reason is because it's none of our business. It's a private road.
Well, my question, Commissioner, is that because of a special road district, the monthly road district commission meetings would be known to the public, correct?
They're public meetings. It doesn't mean it's got to be held at the county. It's going to be held wherever your commission decides to have a public meeting.
But any member of the public from anywhere can attend.
And they are public meetings, that's correct.
So, A, why would that be a public meeting if it only pertains to a private road system that only the homeowners are affected by? A, and B, what is the purpose of eminent domain authority in that road district if not to confer a benefit to the general public? In other words, eminent domain can only be exercised to benefit the public. So a road district has that authority. It can only be because the roads that it has jurisdiction over are public roads. They're not county roads. I agree with you 100% there. There's no obligation to the county to maintain a road, but there's lots of roads in the county, you'll agree, that the county doesn't maintain, but they're still public access roads.
Yeah. If that is truly a fear, I don't think it is. I mean, if it's a worry, I mean, Bill asked me that question, could our county council weigh in on that? And I said, there's no reason for our county council to weigh in because the county has no say and no role. But I could ask our county council to give you a county council legal opinion if it would make you feel better. I can almost guarantee you what it's going to say. But if that would make you, the folks here, feel more comfortable, we could ask for that.
Can I make just one comment concerning fears of the public access on the road? My understanding and what I've heard from all the other road districts is that you can continue with a private road. And a part of that is if you are going to use that road, you have to own an easement that allows you to use it. Somebody has to give you that easement. And currently, the person who owns the property, the person who would be the person to provide the easement, is Bob Foltz, who told me in an email message last year that there's no way that he had ever grant access to the people from the RV park. He made very clear that he is the person who would control any access. And he believes that strong enough that when we had the problem with the RV park 3 or 4 years ago, Bob personally was the person putting up the fence to cover up the hole that they were using to get in.
So, sir, if that's a worst fear of yours that you're worried about, you should send me an email, and Bill has my email address, requesting a legal opinion from the county on that. We would be glad to respond back to the association board of parties.
Thank you.
So, Bill, if a lot owner has granted 50 years ago, 20-foot wide road, all of them. And if a subdivision like the code, let's say, needs 30 feet or 40 feet, there's no way a road district will go in there or can go in there and all of a sudden make the 20-foot right of way now 30 feet.
Oh.
That's about it.
Yeah.
It's a private. Is they have power under the domain? It's under the statute 371. I mean, absolutely they can.
And
your opinion.
No, by the matter of law.
And what I said in addressing that is that there are many other special districts like the fire department that have eminent domain.
There's confusion over the definition of private road and district road. How can it be both?
A private road and what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
A definition between private, you're talking about a private road.
Yes.
Coupled with a district road.
No.
Okay, if you,
the roads are private. The district is sort of a management overlay, is all it is.
Yeah. If you read the statutes related to the formation of a special road district, what they describe is a mechanism to maintain the roads. They don't describe a mechanism to own the roads. The districts are given the power of owning property, but all of, almost all of the districts that I spoke with do not own their roads. They only maintain the roads.
I think it goes back again to that question. If someone wants access, they can legally...
No. Again, the road district has no involvement with ownership unless somebody deeds the road to us. All of the current rights in terms of providing an easement for access lie with the owners of the road. And as I mentioned specifically, coming in off of 101, Bob Fultz owns that. He is the person who has given us the easement to use it, and we own that easement for
long. That's a question I'd like to raise, though, because according to the original plan, there was they have ownership of the road to Highway 101.
Okay. And, again, I'm not an attorney, but my interpretation of that is what you are describing is that you own the easement to use that road. The actual ownership of that road has recently been verified by the Office of Community Development as a part of the COVE thing, and they have established that Bob Fultz owns the road up from Highway 101 to the corner of Neskove, between Neskove and right around the Monroe's house. The ownership is 50-50, Bob Fultz and Bill Hyatt. But if you have any questions about the actual ownership of the road, I can give you the name of a property research consultant who has extensive experience for First American Title in Tillamook for a number of years. She has all the information concerning deed numbers, lot numbers, and a map of the road. The property owners, she would be glad to research any ownership claims to the road.
If you go to the county assessor, to the first department, and we can give you the ownership of the roads, all public information shows right there. The deeds of 1912, 13, and 1917, however, to the Brigham, Steiner, Fry, and Apperson Rogers properties, the old cottages facing the beach, defined in the deed patent ownership from the Pacific Ocean to the Roosevelt Highway.
Yes.
So there seems to be a disconnect between the claim of Mr. Fultz and Mr. Hyatt that somehow their later acquisitions, decades later, trumped the ownership that is reported in those deeds.
Yes. And, you know, And, you know, if you want to press that, I will give you the contact information of this woman, and she will go back and look at all the old records and verify.
I think it's a question.
But if you want to do that, that's fine. And if it turns out that you are the owners, then you would be the people who would be the ones who would be offering the, you would be giving the easement that would allow people to enter. If you didn't want to give that easement, they wouldn't have a right to.
Are there any other questions of me? I apologize. I have a meeting in Mains and Media at 7 o'clock, so I have to go to the other end of the county. Are there any other questions of me from me that I may be able to answer for you?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll get to you.
The other places around the state that you said you checked with about the Central Road.
Yeah.
Were those all planned developed?
No. No, the people that I spoke with are all representatives of special road districts.
No, I'm talking about all those different areas that you talked about, the roads that were specific and sort of things. Were those all planned developed?
No. No, they're just...
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Quick question back. What? I'm sorry. Can you speak?
No. It's potential. I just wondered about why we could take away, since you've got the easement, if we could take away that access.
Okay. They said it's perpetual. It's perpetual. Steve.
So, I'm Steve Woods. It sounds to me like most of this is trying to collect these dollars. One of the things you brought up is Fultz has to been named. What does he represent out of this portion
of
not being paid?
Well, actually, his is relatively small. He just has a couple of properties.
So then secondarily, I don't necessarily like the county say we're going to charge everybody the same because they're very inflexible. And if I look at the roads out there and I go to a place down on Surf, which is all gravel, and I'd love to have it all paved, and I go to a place up on the hill by your place, and I know that it's paved out there. And I think that the developers, when they built or got the approval to do that pave to pave, is that correct?
We paid
that
out of our cost to develop the land.
Yeah, the developers.
And so it seems to me that we want to make some kind of adjustment for those lots up there, in that they've already paid to do the improvement on the road. And the gravel in the section that needs to have so much of the road work done and maintained is down below that.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you're kind of talking about two things. I mean,
the things in the past made sense.
Yeah.
When you go to this,
but we have,
not going to make sense of that and say, we're going to charge every single lot over there the same fee.
Yeah. Well, you're charged something in proportion to the value of the property. And, I mean, that's the way you come in and develop an area. You put down the infrastructure and then hope to sell the properties. All we're doing is managing the road, and up on the hill specifically right now, we've been coming through to cut the weeds so that they can see the for sale signs. So we do a little.
And certainly I agree that there's a plenty of value in getting from the highway into those places.
Yeah.
You know, but if the biggest issue here is collecting the money, then I guess how do we get those people that aren't paying? It's a small percentage, really. And
well,
we've got a gentleman over here that's got a lot of energy and seems to be very vested in this. Can we put him on the duty of trying to collect that? And let's see from this annual meeting how he's done.
Well, this has been an issue that's been talked about for over 20 years, and we've reached a dead end. We hired an attorney to give us suggestions, and she suggested this idea, which seems to work in other neighborhoods. So that's where we're at right now.
One question on the cost. Come November, we get the storm of the century, and it takes out the riprap that's protecting the water main. What happens? Or it takes out two of the culverts.
Or it takes out the bridge.
Or it takes out the bridge. What happens?
Well, that, okay.
I already am done. That's it.
So I talked with the director of public works, just to use the bridge as an example, to find out what it would cost to replace the bridge, and replacing the bridge would probably be around $500,000. And divide that in half with Proposal Rock, $250,000. Divide that by our 100 or so potential members, that comes down to everyone having to put up $2,500. And if we have difficulty getting people to pay $100 to $500, what is it going to be like to try to get $2,500? Through establishing this special road district, you do have the mechanism to deal with major expenses like that. There are loan programs available. We cannot authorize general obligation bonds, but we can apply for loans. You can have that initial millage rate set high enough that you could, over several years maybe, eventually come up with the high amount that you need. But if you have a big expense like that under the current voluntary system, it would be very difficult to pay it. This other system provides a little more guarantee.
And won't we all benefit, those of us that are paying, won't we all benefit when those other people start paying?
Absolutely.
I mean, if the majority of us are paying and small things are not, can't we somehow vote or do this kind of system so we can get them to pay?
Well, the special road district system would be a mechanism that would get everyone to pay. And particularly for the vacant properties, if you look at that plot about what you're paying, this idea that the vacant properties pay 40% of what the others, that's kind of high. Under the actual assessed values, the vacant lots would be paying less. Mike?
Well, I'm Mike Erickson, one of the homeowners. I own some land there in the road 97. I appreciate what you're doing with this board and you guys. It makes a lot of sense. You've done a lot of work, and I hope this works out for everybody. Some people may not agree with it, but I personally like the idea. I got 18 lots up there. I paid my dues. I got a couple of homes here. I paid my dues there. So I think it's a great idea. I've talked to the people that haven't. This is the way to do it. I'm all for it. So.
Okay. Yeah.
As far as permanent residents staffing the board,
yeah.
Are there sufficient people to keep that going? There's 24 people or
they're,
a building number of them willing to serve?
Yeah, I think there probably are. And one of the things about this is that it installs a template that it becomes a lot easier because you have, you know, everything laid out and you just go through the steps. That was another comment from Attila, that these sort of things work best if everyone has specific duties. So this idea that we just put forward, we've got the board that is going to do things based on the plan that's prepared by the budget committee. And I think it would be easier bringing people on, getting them to do that, than sort of our current system where it's kind of fuzzy. Did you?
I'm Kathy Olette, I live on NASCO. One of the things about the county, the district taking over, would the previous people that owe funds be waived and we start fresh?
That is probably what would happen because we, I mean, it's, we have some people who owe thousands of dollars and actually exceed what you could collect on small claims court. You could go after the people who owe lesser amounts, but is that fair to just pick on the easy
pickings? It doesn't aggregate to their tax bill, so we basically start fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Part of my concern about going to court is the experience of the and so I need to have that, you know, it's coloring my view of going to this district thing, and I can't go, and I feel, and as a non-Coleman County registered Nesland registered voter, I really have no choice in what's done there, and I feel like it's very.
Well, there are two things. There are a lot of other people who have had difficulties with the sewer board, and that Mike can tell you about that. But that has been an active topic within the Nesquen Citizen Advisory Committee, and they are working on trying to improve the way the sewer board is managed. One of the things about the sewer board is that as non-residents, you are paying the money to the sewer board, but you have no say about who's on the board. You don't get to vote for that. And that is one of the differences that we're trying to build into this system. You know, for the people who are registered voters, we don't look at this as an opportunity to take over the board. I mean, in that way, it's kind of a drawback, but, you know, we're glad to do it. And with this system, hopefully we can get everyone to participate in selecting those people as well as having this other committee that's open to everyone. And Anne, you have a question?
I'm sorry, I would just like to make a
appreciate what the board's doing. This September, you need to step up and get on the board.
There you go.
This guy down here wants to assure me that he's going to go out and collect 100% of everything that's passed too. Please do so, but without costing the board or me any extra money. That's all there is to it.
So.
I'd like to address the issue of disclosure of the membership of the South Beach Road Association. And
I'll just follow up on that. Is the membership going to be available? This is the current members going to be available on the website?
that's an issue that we need to bring up at the annual meeting and talk about. Currently, you can go online to the assessor's office and download all the information that you want. One of the things that I have done at the last several annual meetings is to collect email addresses, and when I collected them, I specifically told people that I would not release that, let other people into it. At the annual meeting, if you want to decide some change like that, if you want to establish a directory where people could go to, that's fine. But I and also the board feels a certain liability in handling those names. You know, email in particular, if it gets into the hands of the wrong people, you can get all sorts of bad consequences. In some of the email exchanges that were going around last year, in which all of the recipients were listed unprotected, somebody named Ken Graham, other than our Ken Graham, was used. And it was pretty obvious because he was black, so spotted it right away from his picture. But that person who was included in those emails then had received all of our email addresses, and if he was less than reputable, it would have been okay. He asked to be removed from that email list, but things were continued to be sent to him. And so it's no, I mean, if people want to do that, they could do it, but on our part, based on our liability, we're sort of protected with that.
I appreciate that, Chairman, but there's a statute, ORS 65.224, that requires the association to make that available in a secure way, but nonetheless available.
To make email addresses available.
The corporation shall prepare an alphabetical list of the names, addresses, and membership pages of all of its members.
What department has nothing to do with the rural district?
A list.
It's nothing to do with the rural district.
It does in the sense that if we have been requested and allowed to work.
Special meetings about the rural district.
And a communication with the community about the information that needs to be disseminated in order to make an
important.
I defer to the commissioner.
Okay. Your point is well taken. And that's an example of some of the things that we really need to get cleared up in terms of our standing. And, you know, if that's a point, we'll take it up at the annual meeting, specifically address it. If changes need to be made, we'll make it. Yes.
I don't agree with you, which I don't believe there is not the time or the place. Can I make a motion right now?
No, what I would like to do is to get as many people involved as possible, have all of this information out there. You can think about it from now until the end of the summer, and then we can have another discussion at that time. Steve. Scott.
I have a question, Bill. Are our meetings open to the public? Are they for members who are standing only?
For these?
For any meeting.
They should be open to the public, but again.
They should be?
That's part of what.
Anybody can come in here across the street and vote on things? I mean, we do.
No, there are specific. There are, in the bylaws, specific guidelines for voting. But beyond that, that's a part of our lost record that we need to put together. Okay, are there any other... Tom?
Yeah. I'm Tom Zellner, and I live on South Beach Road. My wife and I live on South Beach Road. And we've owned property since 1991, and we built our house in 99 and moved in 01, and we're full-time residents. We're full-time residents. We're registered voters in Tillamook County. There is at least one person in this room, maybe two, three, four, five, who objects to having decisions made by people for whom they did not vote. Am I correct? There must be at least one of you, who doesn't appreciate the fact that decisions are made by people for whom they did not vote. Those people live in Washington County, Multnomah County, Clackamas County, Marion County, Lane County, and I think Clark County. That's Vancouver, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. They bought their second home, maybe third home, in the wrong county. They bought it in the wrong county. They should have voted, should have bought it in the county in which they are registered voters. Then they wouldn't have that complaint. They wouldn't be offended by the fact that somebody is making a decision which costs them money and perhaps freedom, at least that's the way the conversation is going, because their home is in a county in which they don't vote. That's my first comment. Let me make one more, and then I'll just yield. Okay. I don't know how many of you have served on the board. I know some have, but I've been associated with the board since 2002, and I still am. Different capacities, but I'm still there. You can't be impeached, can you?
You can only hope.
If you have been on the board, then you know that the assessment is determined by the board. The assessment is determined by the board. A certain amount for vacant lots, a certain amount for developed properties. The bills are set out, and hopefully the money will come in. Developed properties are assessed the same. Vacant lots are assessed all the same. There's a person in this room who lives in a very modest home, and I have not consulted the tax assessor's records, but I doubt that it's assessed at more than $130,000, $120,000, maybe $150,000, but I doubt it. But then we have another person in this room, actually probably five or six, who have very nice big properties, probably assessed at something over $700,000, something over $800,000, maybe even, who knows, maybe a million. Is it proper that the person living in the $130,000 home, I'm talking about assessed value, is paying the same $350 as the person who lives in the $800,000 home today? I mean, I'm not taking the economic position because I know this person can afford it. I'm taking the moral position here. The second thing is we keep referring to, and this is not criticism, but Bill has used the number, which I cannot remember, but it's somewhere between like 80 and 90% of the dollars that were, correct me if I'm wrong, the dollars that were billed, about 80 or 90% was received. Is that correct?
But the dollars billed before the past year, we were receiving somewhere between 70 and 85%.
Okay. I don't know any of you that can predict the future. I can't even tell you what's going to happen in 3 hours. But we do know that the economy fluctuates, and we do know that a few years ago we had a economic, shall we say, a depression, maybe not in classic economics language, but there were many people who felt financially depressed for years. We keep referring to, I'm going to say 80%, 80%. 80% of the people come up with $350 a year. What if we have a real economic depression and only 50% of the people come up with $350? Who's going to make it up? You're going to make it up? You're going to make it up? You're going to make it up? Are we going to send, let's say half the people, so that would mean that instead of $350, it would be $700. Now, who's going to pick up that? The bridge collapses. He said $500,000. Who's going to make a loan to this association with no legal obligation to pay that loan? Who's going to make a loan to this organization for a $500,000 bridge? Oh, look at the hands go up. think that's it.
Sure. I'm Mike Herbel. I'm probably one of the newest board members. I've had my home, 17 years now over in South Beach. And I moved here permanently 3.5 years ago now, maybe 4 years. And what has struck me is how things have changed in our little community back there. And we have dramatically more traffic. We have more people, you know, sort of moving to the coast on a full-time basis. So the sum of that is we've got a lot higher impact on our little gravel roads. Maintaining the gravel is expensive. And I just see the maintenance costs and the impacts increasing. And what we're trying to do here is establish a long-term, sustainable funding source to maintain our roads. I think to speak to what Tom was saying is that, you know, we need to come up with a stable, sustainable, forecastable number so that we can properly maintain our roads. And I think we all need to recognize is that we are having increased use and there's an increased burden and that the costs are going to go up. And we really do need to stabilize things. That's all I have to say.
Okay, any other questions?
Wouldn't it be better for all of us for the consumer to somehow, maybe it's a polarizing issue, but if we were to probably third of the roads are paved model, then you're not going to have the gravel costs, the maintenance costs, and that's pretty something. Long term, it's probably a better idea.
Then you have a speed issue, and you got little kids and pets, and people going to
wildfire. Yeah, there are. There are, yeah.
I'd like to say I work for the Forest Service, and they pave a lot of roads that they shouldn't have. A lot of times, paving roads is very cool when they're paved, but in the long term, maintenance can be a lot greater than gravel. So I don't think that's an assumption.
Well,
without a lot of looking into it.
In the course of talking with these 21 people, I got everyone from people who were fixated on potholes and talked about different mixes of gravel to fix potholes. So some of these people, you know, thought about it quite a bit. One of the numbers that I heard tossed out was that if you have more than 100 trips by car over a gravel road a day, it no longer is economically advantageous. That's 100 trips, so 50 round trips. And on that main stretch between where the pavement ends and where Nesco splits off, we're easily getting that traffic. And right now, if you go out there, gravel's not staying on the road, the potholes are all over. You know, there are some places where the gravel just can't keep up with the traffic, unless maybe you had a grader and regularly every week or so came through and graded it. One of the special districts, when they formed, they inherited a grader, and, you know, I'd find it kind of fun to drive one around, but we don't have it right now.
So are you volunteering if I buy a grader?
Well, I don't know. I actually in the off-season drive tractors, but they are so computer-controlled right now, I don't know if I could handle one of the old graders. Okay, are there any other questions? Yes.
I just have one comment. Joan seems like it here. I think it's a little naive of us to believe that there's no way we can do something.
Okay. The statement was he thinks it is naive to believe that we can't lose the gate.
Yeah. I've tried this person long enough to know that honestly,
well, I mean,
yeah, but he can't promise us that someone won't do that for you. We're going to be here tomorrow. So what's
okay? If there aren't any other issues, this again, we're going to try to make the information as available as possible. If you have questions, send it to us. We'll post it. And yes, and on your way out, please take your chairs to the shed.
Well done, Bill. You handled it better than I did.